Acts 8, starting in verse number 26. The word of God says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
Thank you, Brother Chad. Boy, isn't that an exciting story? Amen. I want to preach this morning on this subject: a desert encounter, a desert encounter that became a divine encounter. Or I just want to preach on having a divine encounter with God. I'm glad this morning that what I got wasn't superficial, wasn't man-made, wasn't just a religious experience. It was a divine encounter. See, I want all you to know something. When a sinner comes to Christ, there'll always be certain things happen or it's not real. Why do you think that Christianity is so anemic today? Why do you think there's so many people, there's no power in their prayers? There's no change in their life. I declare unto you that a lot of people have had a desert encounter, but they've never had a divine encounter. Let's just look at the ingredients and we'll go verse by verse. I like this because it just lays it out. Number one, if you're going to have a divine encounter with God, it's going to start out with a preacher, a soul winner, a messenger. Amen? This particular man, I love Philip. I love him because of what he's mentioned three times in the Bible. I don't know how many of you remember or realize he was one of the first seven deacons. And by the way, the Bible said about him that he was full of Holy Ghost and wisdom. Hey, by the way, if we're going to preach the gospel, somebody needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And if you're going to be a witnesser for God, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. If souls are going to be saved, it's going to take some people who are hooked up to God. Hey, somebody help me preach more. I think I'm starting to feel a little preach coming in, man. Amen. We need somebody hooked up with God. And I'll tell you what else he was. If you look at verse 26, 29, and 39, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. You know what's happening? We got a lot of these preachers today. I'm just going to tell it like it is. They're not sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. All they got is they try to water it down. They try to make it user friendly. I'm trying to help you. We need some people. We need some preachers. We need some soul winners that don't water it down. Don't try to dilute it. Just preach it like it is. Let me say some more about Philip because I want you to really get educated about him. In Acts 6, he was called a deacon. In Acts 21, he was called Philip the Evangelist. Amen. So he was more than just a deacon. He was an evangelist. I've had a lot of deacons who God called to preach. Amen. And God used them in some other area. Well, Philip, that's what happened to him. He became a great evangelist. I'll tell you what kind of evangelist he was. He was one of those he like a tent meeting guy. He would go in the city and hold a crusade. He's one of the Billy Graham type. He would hold a crusade. Yeah, this guy must have been something else as a speaker because he just was in Samaria preaching, stirring up the whole place. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher who couldn't stir up the whole place. I'm 71 years old and I'm still stirring up the whole place. Still, God, hey, you think I'm, well, glory. I know some of y'all worry me about me getting close to that. He stirred the whole place up. But I want you to know something. The Holy Ghost said to him, I want you to go south. I want you to leave this. Leave your revival. And I want you to go. And by the way, there were two routes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. And he went on the desert route. And isn't it wonderful that not only he was a crusade preacher, but he was also available for one. Because by the way, everybody that gets saved, it's one by one. Then number two, I want you to notice in our passage of scripture, verse number 27, are y'all following me? Say amen. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. Let's go on down through the scripture. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, this Ethiopian, obviously, if you read it correctly, he had power. He had position. He was a treasurer. He had prestige, but he had a problem. He was lost. He was a responsible guy. And he was a religious guy because he went on a 200-mile journey to go all the way up to preach or to worship at Jerusalem. But I want you, I just wondered what he found when he got there, Brother Chad. Well, I think a lot of people find a lot of Baptist churches they go to. And I ain't going to call the other church. I'm just going to talk about Baptists this morning. Find a bunch of dry, dull, dead, and disappointing stuff. I want all y'all to know something. Religion will never give you anything. You'll find out it's dull. You'll find out it's dry. You'll find out that it's dead. Oh, there's two kinds out there. Always two extremes. They got the fry. What the kind what I call the fry? That's the charismatic crowd that go crazy. Emotionalism, all it is. I want you to know my salvation is more than emotionalism this morning. I don't even always feel like shouting, but I want you to know it's more than emotionalism this morning. Then the other extreme is freeze. You know what Mays Jackson said about some Baptist churches? You could bring a milk cow down through the church and start milking him. Time you got to the altar, you got popsicles. I'm glad this church is not like it. We got some life about us. But we're not chasing wildfire. We're not ignorant. We're not doing stupid stuff. We're just preaching the Word of God, praising God in the right way. Somebody help me preach.
Amen. Good preaching.
Then verse 29 and 31, the Spirit's motivation. I'm glad preachers are still able to discern what to preach. And soul winners are able to discern what to say when they get to the house to win somebody to Jesus Christ. And verse 29 said that then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. I've had experiences like that with people. There was a man who used to go to church here, and I'm wanting to think of his name, and I'll remember it after service. All y'all know him, and Lord, he moved to Princeton. Anybody remember? Well, he moved to Princeton, went to Maranatha Baptist Church in Princeton. Him and his wife were great members here for years. I was down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And that guy was down there. I never met him before in my life. Never met him in my life. But I was up on the pier fishing. And I saw him over there and I said, I think he needs, the Holy Ghost said, you need to go over there. I said, I'm fishing. You need to go over there. I'm fishing. All of a sudden, I dropped my fishing pole, went over and started talking to the guy. And I reached in, I got a track, and I handed him the track. And I said, can I talk to you about what's in this track? Can I talk to you a little while? And he got saved by the grace of God. Right there on the pier. You said, why did he get saved? Because I was sensitive enough to go over there. And by the way, there's a lot of preachers that won't change their message. They won't. If the Holy Ghost told them to switch up something, they'd get the shakes. I want you to know something this morning. What we need is some men of God, women of God, will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit of God directs you to somebody, you go there with boldness. You give them the truth of the Word of God. Somebody help me preach this morning. Am I doing all right?
Amen.
I'm talking about having a divine encounter with God. And fourthly, look at verse 32 through 34. The scriptures were presented. The message. By the way, we got one message. The place of the... This guy was reading. By the way, he was seeking... Holy Ghost, by the way, the Holy Ghost was moving on him, Ray. He was seeking because he's there reading the book of Isaiah. He said, what was he reading? Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. That's what he was reading. Y'all with me? I'm going somewhere. I'm not ready to get happy right here this morning. Boy, I'm glad I got a little energy to preach this morning. Woo! Makes me want to shout. Am I running well? The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, of whom speakest the prophet of this, of himself or another man? The scripture message was preached. The scripture promised a deliverer. I'm glad. Religion doesn't deliver you. Turning over a new leaf doesn't deliver you. Getting wet in a baptistry doesn't deliver you. But I'll tell you what, who delivers you. It's not a place. It's a person. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other name given under men than the name of Jesus. Somebody help me preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The scripture promised of a deliverer. The scripture predicted a death. Amen. The Bible talked about him having to die. And he did die. That's the message. The death, the burial, the resurrection, it hasn't changed. In verse 32, 35, let's keep preaching. Then he presented to him the Savior. Here's what he done. He overall told about that scripture, Chad, then he broke it down. Here's what he said about Jesus. How many believe this society, that's what it needs, Jesus? You know, I think right now, you know, everybody's talking about politics. Listen, I'm less political right now than I've ever been in my life. And you're a nuthead if you are political. All it is dummies facing the stupids every week. I mean, they ain't none of them got enough sense coming out of the rain. But I want you to know, there ain't a social program in this world that will ever change a life. But I want you to know what we need to keep doing. Wave at me if you believe this. We need to keep lifting up Jesus. We need to keep preaching Jesus. You want to be saved? You want to know how to be saved? You want to get your life turned around? You need to hear about Jesus. So what he done, he talked to him about he was a sacrifice. By the way, he is our sacrifice. And it was a blood sacrifice. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said that he made peace by the blood of his cross. Hey, listen to me. I can't hear too much about Jesus. I want to hear more about Jesus. I don't want to hear about the preacher. I don't want y'all to think about me this morning. I ain't nothing but a piece of clay. But I want to tell you that he is real. He was virgin born. He went to the grave. He died. He went to the grave. And he got up. Hey, what he preached about? He preached about his substitution. See, by the way, if you don't receive him, you will die in your sin. You need a substitution. Here's what the Bible said about it. Boy, I like it when my mind's right and I'm quoting scripture. Amen. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. Here's what it really means. It means he became an adulterer. He became a drug addict. He became a drug. He became everything that we were. Our sins were nailed to his cross. But I'm glad, Lois, he put down principalities of power and blotted our sins out. And I stand before God this morning, justified, declared righteous, on my way to heaven. Joy in my soul. Y'all all with me? I'm trying to round this ship, bring it home. And he was a satisfaction. What he done, he satisfied the demands of God. There's amazing scripture in the Bible, Dave, how that God can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. How can he be both? I'll tell you how. His son came to become the propitiation, the satisfaction. And when God looked down at his work on Calvary, listen, sinner, when God looked down at the work of Jesus, he was satisfied. Amen. He's not satisfied with Muhammad, Buddha, somebody calling on their cow. No. He's satisfied with Jesus. Then let me give you two more thoughts and I'm done. Is this all in my goodness? All right. Woo! Man, oh boy. Now, I'm going to get some important stuff here. Look at verse 36. I want all y'all, will y'all please go over there in your Bible? There's a reason. Then I see a surrender or a miracle. Thank God. Every time somebody trusts Christ, Lois, it's a miracle. And you know, I was worshiping with you a little bit ago. It's real, too. What was you, five? 5 years old. But 5 years old, 5 years old, it's real. I don't care what age you get it, if you just long as you get it, but if you ever get it, you'll know it's real. Woo. Yeah, I'm coming. Look at verse 36. This miracle. And as they went on their way, they come unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Oh, boy. The old boy wanted to be baptized. He wanted to get dunked. Now, listen to me. I know some of you, this might be where I turn the wrench the wrong way for you. In the modern translations, the next verse is not there. And to be honest with you, the next verse is the most important verse in the whole passage. That's why the Calvinists like this that version. Because look what he asked him. Boy, I like this right here. Look what he asked him. And Philip said, you know, he asked him, he said, I want to be baptized. Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. Here's what Philip said. Here's the condition, son. You got to believe. Have you believed? Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Now, here's what the Calvinists say to you. Have you been born again first? Who in the world gets born again before you believe? You believe and then you get born again. Read Ephesians 1:13. Somebody help me preach. Let's look at it. I like this. If thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to go to heaven? You repent of your sins and you turn from your sin and you say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you trust Him alone as Savior, and you confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart. And I want you to know what's going to happen is there's going to be a miracle happen in your life. You're going to be changed by the grace of God. Therefore, being any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's going to be, you're going to be changed. He confessed Christ, and Philip took him down into the water. Well, I might as well tell my Methodist friends and Presbyterians, he went in the water. Might as well just tell y'all, this ain't baptism. That ain't it. Say, why'd you do that? I need to cool off a little bit. That ain't it. Tell you what it is. When you confess the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you go down in the water and you show on the outside what you got on the inside. And you're showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody help me preach. That's how the miracle happened. Hey, you know what's happening in our churches? There's a lot of professions, but they're not real miracles happening. We need people's life changed and turned around. Ain't nothing to do like the gospel. Chad, you get ready to come up and do the invitation. I about preached my head off. Then lastly, look at verse 39 and 40. I told y'all just going down the verses. I see a satisfaction in ministry. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. He just left. I'm done. And that eunuch saw him no more. And we hear that he went preaching in other cities and doing crusades. But I'll tell you what happened to the eunuch. He was rejoicing. Some people ask me why I rejoice. Well, there's something inside I want to rejoice. How many believe there's something in you? You may not shout like I shout. You may not cry like I cry. You may not have them, but I want you to know something. If you've really been under the spout where the glory comes out and you ever really get the real deal, you'll want to rejoice. You'll want to praise His name. Hey, I rejoice in the car. I rejoice at home. I rejoice wherever I get a chance. Anytime I get a chance to let myself shout it out, I rejoice. Stand with me and Chad, you come.